Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it. What to do with it when you get it? I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman. Hi, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
My producer and engineer is Jack Inslee. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
Should we dock Jack today?
Yeah.
We're not streaming live today. We're taped.
I guess no phone calls this week.
Oh, no phone calls. Oh, that's going to bum out. Okay.
Only the phone call that I'm on right now. maybe we could patch it through.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Jack's trying to talk to India. Tech support. good luck with that.
Should we have a show about outsourcing?
Oh, that'd be so. I don't have any good thing to say about outsourcing.
Well, there's nothing good to say about outsourcing.
Well, obviously, it must work for some companies because they're doing it, but that's another show.
That's a whole other.
We're going to talk current events, though, today. We're going to talk about more uprisings, oil prices, and union busting. This has been some week. It's going to affect our wallet. How it's going to affect our wallet, we're going to talk and discuss it, because we don't really know. You know, we don't have a crystal ball. We're only going to say some of the things we think and feel, and how we process this information as it happens. It's happening as real time. Everything's real time now, right?
I guess so.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, so we broadcast live every Thursday, 4:30 to 5.
Why are you lying to the people?
And yeah,
why are you lying to the people?
Today we're broadcasting 4:40 to 5:10.
Why are you telling them what time we're showing? We're doing this.
And we archive all the shows.
How do we talk about the fact that I'm starving?
And
why don't we give them everything right now?
Podcast
available. Download a podcast.
This show will be available for your podcast when you want to go run around the world, because you're not going to be able to drive around.
Can we complain about the podcast word too? Podcast, Jack. Hate Apple.
Okay. So we can't call in today. You can email us, but you're not hearing us, so... You can email your comments.
But you're having a hard time with this one,
You can email your comments anytime, and we read them after the show is over at the info at heritageradionetwork.com. Okay. Today's show, like I said, is about current events. I think one has to do with the other, or they have some effect on the... I'm going to tell
like
you
the
my
butterfly
thought.
Effect.
This is what my
the
thought
butterfly
is.
Butterfly flaps its wing. No, there's a tsunami
I never
in India or something
heard
like
that.
You never heard that?
The butterfly
Jack,
effect.
Come
the
on, Jack.
Butterfly effect.
Vouch for me on this one.
It's a bad movie. I know that.
Oh,
one.
Stop. That's it.
He
that's
flaps like his wings. Get out of here. Okay,
you
let's talk
that?
About Libya. Libya. Okay, let's commend. I mean, we didn't even talk about Egypt and what was the other one?
Tunisia.
I commend them for doing what they did. Hopefully it'll all work out. I'm sure they're going to have some bumps down the next few months until they get their world in order again. But they pulled it off, and it was really fantastic. So it's
Wait,
spreading.
You're happy that these countries have overthrown our puppet governments?
Yes. Yes.
But who's going to sell us oil at a cheaper price?
You know, that's the other part of this discussion. I believe that the people rebelling for the greater good is the way to go. I am a child of the 60s and 70s. That's the way it was. And I think apathy has taken over the last 30 or 40, 50 years, whatever the numbers are. And I think it's wonderful that these people are feeling so passionate about their cause that they go into these lengths. And it's all good. It's all for the good. And there's always pain along the way. But this Libya thing isn't going as smoothly as Tunisia and Egypt and the rest of the Middle East. It's tough over there, boy. It's tough. And what's it going to do to us? How is it going to affect us? So that's what I wanted to find out from our listeners, how this is going to help us, but it's going to hurt us along the way.
So email us your questions, and we'll respond to them next week, I guess. Or we'll have a follow-up show.
That's a good thought. Yeah, we'll respond to any comments that you make during the week next week. Because I wonder next week what we're going to be talking about. Hopefully, we'll be talking about the end of the Libyan crisis. And
that's sad. That's sad what they're doing over there.
Oh, it's very sad. This Gaddafi guy is nuts.
We've known that for years, decades.
We've always known that. And he's not an American. We've never supported Gaddafi. The Americans, you know, are in a tough situation with some of the other regimes because, we're in bed with them. But ultimately, the people have a right to have fair and a government.
Well, shouldn't they be happy with us? Because the Egypt thing was based on Facebook, if I read correctly. Like, there was a Facebook group. And
yeah, of course. It was social medias, yeah.
Social media. Right. And, where did that stuff originate?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, U.S.
Thank you.
Okay, good. But the point is, so how's it going to affect us? So, this is how I feel. The immediate impact is the oil prices are going up. And now Americans are up in arms. Oh, my God, the oil prices. Well, let me just tell you. A couple of years ago, the oil prices were this high and higher. And there was all this good talk about green jobs, alternative fuel, blah, 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 get rid of the SUVs. We did a little bit of legwork on that, and then we all fell back into complacency, and everybody's back driving around, burning up their oil, and people are used to now paying $3 plus or $2 plus for their oil. It's now climbing again, and they're all crying again.
Well, all commodities have gone up, though, recently.
Well, it's very unstable, and all commodities will go up because the price of oil affects the rest of our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about worldwide economy.
Of course.
So around the world, the truckers will feel it, the airplanes will feel it immediately, and that'll impact the price of our commodities, our food, and our televisions, and all those other things. But let's talk about how we had all this exuberance a few years ago about green jobs, alternative fuel, and all these other things. The real deal is it kind of fell by the wayside again.
Well, people can only keep up a good face, when things are going well, and it's just been a steady knock to the pocket for everybody. Unemployment still through the roof. People are just tired. There's only so much money you have, and so long you can keep going and going. I think people get tired. Like, yes, that's great. Let's do something, and nothing gets done.
Nothing.
So
gets
people
done.
Lose their focus, nothing lose their done. Lose their drive for these things,
yep.
And then they
right.
They're
so,
like, all right,
so we need another
just
crisis.
Give me a job and give me my truck back.
So we need another crisis.
People feel comfortable.
Well, the crisis is here again, and the real deal is alternative fuels are not going to.
No, I think we need more jobs.
Well, I don't think that's going to solve the oil crisis.
No, it won't. But some people start getting jobs, and there seems to some bounce back, and then people still see that their prices are going up.
I don't know that jobs are going to solve the problem. I think that Americans have to really, it's got to get darkest before it's dawn, okay? In this case.
How much darker?
Well, this might be, hopefully, this is the darkest it's going to be. And because we could be brought to our knees. I mean, our economy will come to a screeching halt if the oil doesn't keep getting produced and sent over to us. If it gets so expensive that most Americans can't afford their utility bills anymore, then we'll be at a screeching halt. And then they'll put other alternative methods of heating our house and lighting our world.
Public transportation should take a huge jump.
Of course.
They should institute.
But do you know that they put the money out there and then they take the money away? And then there's not enough momentum for a lot of people to take public transportation.
When
they still rather get in their cars.
But if you can't afford your electric bill because you're driving your car around, pay your electric bill. Get on the bus.
Well, that's what we want to happen.
It would save you so much more money anyway.
Well, we know that. However, the Americans are very spoiled. They'll pay more. They'll keep paying more. They'll complain.
Where's the money going to come from?
The point is, all of our America can't run without oil. I mean, Walmart can't run the corporation on burning wood.
I don't care if Walmart closes.
Okay, but that's the point is, the commerce of America, not all the industry
no, of
can
course,
operate
you make
that.
Adjustments and adapt to situations. People might have to take a pay cut. You know, people, they can't afford to pay.
Well, they are taking a pay cut when the oil goes up to $4 a barrel, $4 a gallon, and then you all of a sudden you're allocating more and more money to your utility bills and your fuel bills, you're effectively taking a pay cut. So it's time to really get serious about our dependence on foreign oil. Really serious. The Republicans don't think it's a serious matter. We can just drill off our waters. That's nuts. That's just nuts. Obama promised green jobs. Obama promised alternative fuels. We have to do this. And we have to keep supporting the people in Libya and all the rest of the Middle East so they can get what they're entitled to, a good, fair life. And frankly, I wonder how many of those people, those ordinary people who are rebelling, are getting the reward for all that oil. I mean, really, it just goes into the pockets of a few people. It's just an unfair system over there. And now we are being affected by that. So that Gaddafi guy, oh boy.
Psycho.
So with that rebellion going on in the Middle East, I think it's spread to Wisconsin. And I want to commend the people in Wisconsin. I commend them for saying, we're not taking this anymore. And you know what? I really am 1,000,000% behind these boys and girls. I got to tell you, I am not a staunch union supporter. I am not. However, what they're doing in Wisconsin and in throughout the Midwest, it's also going on in Ohio and Indiana and Oklahoma. They're trying to bust the unions. It's totally unfair. The governors over there and their state senates are going after the municipal workers. They did not cause this bloody fiscal crisis and these deficits and these budget problems. They should not be the ones held responsible for it. And that's where the cuts are going to come. It still goes back to my favorite group of people, the bankers. Remember those boys from 2008?
I'm not talking about that anymore.
Well, they are not being held accountable. The teachers and the municipal workers, the sewer workers and the highway, whoever works for the government, except, of course, the police and the fire people in Wisconsin, they're excluded from this treatment by the governor and his Republican-run office.
Wasn't that emergency services? They're not allowed to cut emergency services like sanitation, fire, police?
Oh, no. That's not the case here.
I thought you weren't allowed to do that.
No. You're not allowed to do that, period. He's busting a union. I think the only way you can bust a union, I don't know. Some people will let me know. I think it's to fire all of the members and hire non-union members to replace them. This guy is taking away their ability to collective bargain on their vacation, on their sick days, on some other matters, but not on their wages. And then he's excluded the, like I said, the cops and the state police and the firefighters, and he's excluded them because, coincidentally, they supported him in his campaign, and he's not telling them that their collective bargaining options are at risk. So this is completely political here. And I really, really, I really commend them, as I said, for not taking it. And I commend the Democrats who left the state to show that they really are not in favor of this, because as soon as this vote passes...
Wow, you're a liberal and a half, huh?
Oh, I am a liberal. Yes, I am.
I got that.
However, you can't just keep cutting. And I agree, the Democrats can't keep spending. There's got to be the word called compromise. How about a compromise? There's got to be a blend of some cuts. There's got to be a blend of some spending, savings. You listen.
Well, don't you think union workers are overpaid?
No. Union workers, generally, their benefits are pretty expensive.
Their benefits equal their hourly wages, if I'm not mistaken, on a normal basis.
Well,
or maybe slightly under, but usually at least 67 to 75% of their
But that's maybe a compromise.
Well, these are things they have to work on. Like these guys,
you can't just take it away.
No, I'm not saying take it away, but like they get 4 weeks vacation a year.
Yeah.
They get these ridiculous health plans. Yes. They got pension plans. Right. They got all these things. That's very expensive. It's a very big burden on the state.
That's right.
Look at New York State. Our pension budget is 50% of our budget. Right. It's ridiculous. It's strangling
every state. Every state has a problem.
It's a horrible plan. It's not working.
Well, it's not working, but a compromise. You can't just
come
in.
Well, they need to do something.
But you can't just come in and just shake it and say, we're not doing it anymore. You're not eligible. Okay.
You should do something,
though. You can't grow the economy by destroying jobs and attacking the middle class. And that's what's going on right now. Okay. Public employees should not be the scapegoats in this mess. It's a mess. And the bankers have made the problem. The bankers have enough money.
But what can you do to the bankers now?
Well, you know what? Hold them accountable. Nobody went to jail. Nobody was put up on
Countrywide
charges.
Countrywide has just paid serious fines.
Well, they're still getting their big time bonuses. Put a tax, a surtax, on bankers' incomes. How's that? Just the bankers have a special group.
Well,
a special
group. How do you define that?
I don't know. You know, I'm just coming up with some ideas. The bankers have not felt it. And you know what? If their schools fall apart, because the bulk of this attack on the municipal workers is falling on the teachers, you know. Mm-hmm. And the last thing in the world this country needs is a further failed school system, because we're already in the throes of failure. You can't take it out on the teachers. How much more could they do? It's not their
fault.
So
where's the money coming from?
Compromise.
Compromise. What's your compromise?
Increase some taxes. Make some cuts.
What are you taxing?
Tax the bankers.
Tax the bankers. So just Wisconsin. There's a
no, across the world.
Across the world.
Across the
so
world.
So taxing bankers. All right, let's take a break.
Let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute and we'll finish this up.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. Your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Rolls around, you finally lay your burden down.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., Chef Erica Wides hits the airwaves to become your own personal chef instructor. Chef Wides, along with esteemed guests from the culinary world, dissect topics that range from the complex to the deceptively simple, combining classic culinary know-how, personal experiences, and the occasional virtual history lesson. Why We Cook is a great listen for culinary vets and rookies alike. Again, that's Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. She's talking about layoff of the teachers and the municipal workers and attack the people who caused the problems. And the politicians need to be held accountable, too. It's not a Republican-Democrat story. It's an American story. We have a problem. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead.
I was going to say... No, what?
Go ahead.
What, you want to mention that I had a little drink there?
Go ahead. No.
It should be a federal... Some sort of federal tax on these corporations, they can then disseminate throughout the states.
They do have that. It's called corporate taxes. Or
no, I'm saying they should increase the levy on these bankers as you wish.
You know that the Republicans got away with that tax cut. We can ill afford a tax cut.
Okay.
The Bush tax cuts. So, you know what? Obama's got to compromise. He's got to raise some taxes. He's got to do some cuts. You can't do no tax increases, all tax cuts. You can't do all tax increases, no tax cuts, no program cuts. It's got to be a blend. And it's time to get suck it up and make the people who made the mess, make them pay somewhere along the line, okay? That's all my... Listen, we don't have an email question, but I do have a tax season number 4. This is week number 4. I wanted to talk about dependents. Very common misunderstanding is my kid is in college. He works part-time. He's not my dependent anymore. So, and he's 20 or he's 19. And so the truth is the kid has a job. He's still your dependent unless he supports himself entirely. And most kids working part-time and going to college are still your financial obligation and still your dependent. So
when do you stop that? With boomerang kids, can you keep writing them off?
No. You know, if you make a certain amount of money and they're supporting themselves, if they're home not working, then they get banned. You're still paying for them. Food, shelter, you know, whatever, insurance, whatever you're doing. But, you know, a kid who's making, you know, $100 a week working part-time, makes $5,000 a year, is not supporting himself. So the parents still get to write him. If a kid's working a good job, three-quarters of the time, he's making $15,000 a year, he's really kind of supporting himself. He's kind of paying for his own clothing and paying for his own life, you know. So it's not an age thing. It's a financial line. When so if your kid is back home and unemployed, he could possibly be your dependent. And he could be 28. Hopefully he's
not. What's the amount of money that you think should be the cutoff?
I think around $5,000. After that, you got to look at it and see who's really supporting who at that point. Okay? We're going to have a little number nuts this week. We're going to test my studio, people.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're going
to
we should bring this customer service rep I'm on hold with and maybe have him play number nuts, too.
Is he up for that?
I don't know. He's not answering me.
Okay, boys. This week, I'm going to ask you, along the vein of college students, about funny scholarships out there. And you guys are going to tell me how much you think each of these scholarships is going to get. Let's get a student.
Where is this?
I'm going to read you different scholarship offers, and you're going to tell me how much you think this scholarship is going to be worth. The first one I have is a Surfrider Foundation scholarship. You would think that, you know, if you're a surfer, you could get some money. That's the way I understood it. So this is the deal. The applicant must show an interest in coastal environmental science. He must contribute in a positive manner to one of the issues outlined in the Surfrider Foundation. He must be enrolled in a field of study that pertains to marine affairs, environmental science, community planning, natural resources, oceanography, or public policy. So how much do you think the undergraduate award from the Surfrider Foundation is going to give you? $10,000, $5,000, or $2,000 a year?
$650.
$2,000.
$2,000 is the right answer. So wow. When you're a master's degree in the Surf Riders Foundation, how much are they going to give you? $5,000, $10,000, or $3,000?
$3,000
is right. And now if you're a PhD and you're applying for the Surf Rider, how much are they going to give you? $5,000, $10,000, or $3,000?
Non-applicable.
$5,000 is right, Jack. All right. Good for you. Wow. Surf Riders. See, I really thought it had to do with surfing. I was disappointed it wasn't having to do surfing. Okay. The next one I have is the David Letterman Telecommunications Scholarship.
Awesome.
You know, he was a C student, and he wants all his C students before and after me to now get some cash for the mediocrity. Okay? So you have to go to Ball State University, where David Letterman went. You have to have a creative endeavor, and you have to... has to be intellectual property of one person.
Ball State?
Ball State.
Ball State only.
Ball State only. And you have to be a C student, and you have to come up with a creative endeavor. And it has to be individual. It can't be a team effort, okay?
This is my favorite scholarship ever so far.
Okay. So there were three winners.
I'm sure.
Three winners. So the third place winner, second runner-up, what do you think they get? $2,000, $1,000, or $3,333?
$1,000.
$3,333. That's right.
Jack, come on. It's like the SAT test. If there's one that doesn't like apply, probably the right answer.
The first runner-up, $2,000, $5,000,
or $7,500?
$7,500.
$5,000. $5,000
is right. Damn it, Jack. You're really not good at this.
The winner. Does he get
an internship on the David
$5,000, $10,000, or $20,000?
$20,000.
$10,000.
Damn it, Jack.
Not a bad scholarship, huh?
Better than the Surf Riders.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Now, here, if you go to Harvard, if you're in Harvard, if you grew up in a particular city or a town, Harvard may have a scholarship waiting for you. The first one is the Joseph Smith Scholarship. You have to have community service, volunteer service, all that stuff. But applicants
from Salt Lake City
must be residents of Alston, Brighton, or Boston, Massachusetts. Interesting, right?
I thought Joseph Smith was Mormon.
Well, there's more than one Joseph Smith, so. Okay? There's a Richard Cross Foundation, and you have to be from Bridgewater, Massachusetts. There's a another Joseph Smith. There's two Joseph Smiths here? Yeah. Two Joseph Smiths. You have to be from... Oh, no, that's the same one. Sorry. The Baxendale Scholarship. You must be a descendant of Allen Bedford Hudson. must have the last name of Baxendale or Hudson, and you must be a resident of Brockton, born Massachusetts.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That's a very specific scholarship.
No kidding. Here's another one. William Stoughton Bequest Scholarship.
Is it just a family thing then?
You must be a resident of Dorchester, Mattapan, or Milton, Massachusetts. And it can also be a Native American descent. Get some money. We got another one.
Are you just reading things off, or are you actually asking? Is
this
going to be a question?
This is just interesting. I have more questions, but not this one. Henry Krieger Memorial. Applicants must be from Cleveland, Ohio. So you go to Harvard. You're from Cleveland. You qualify for the scholarship. And the last one I have is the William Pennyear Bequest. Applicants must be resident of New Haven, Connecticut. So there's money out there, boys and girls. We have another one. This is the Eileen Garrett Scholarship. She gives you money to someone who pursue the academic study of the science of parapsychology. What's parapsychology?
It's ghosts and stuff.
Right. Past winners have included seances, creative spiritual groups, and learned how to communicate with the other side.
I think I dated one of them.
Oof. So, how much do you think Eileen Garrett is going to give the winner? You're going to get $5,000, $10,000, or $3,000?
Ten.
A copy of Ghostbusters on DVD.
Ghost, dude. Just ghost, man.
$3,000 scholarship.
Apparently she's not that crazy.
Okay, we got another one. This is an interesting one for the listeners of the Heritage Food Network, okay? There's a Culinary Institute of American Apple Pie Scholarship.
Ooh.
Can you bake an apple pie? If you have a recipe for an apple pie that can't be beat, the Culinary Institute of America may have a scholarship prize for you. How much do you think this apple pie scholarship is going to be? $5,000, $10,000, or $25,000?
Wow, those are the choices?
Yep.
Five.
$25,000 for an apple pie. I hope I have a listener that is going to try to get that scholarship. Wow. We have a lot of people on this radio network that listen for food people, okay? Isn't that something?
Wait, is it only to the American Culinary Institute?
Yep, that's the school, Culinary Institute of America.
I'm sorry.
CIA, okay? I got a couple of small ones more, okay? We're going to go to the Tall Clubs International Student Scholarship. They're going to give you an award if you're under 21, and the recipient must be a minimum of 5'10" for a woman or 6'2" for a man.
Damn, I just missed it.
How much do you think they're going to give you for a scholarship?
$50.
$5,000, $1,000, or
$10,000?
One.
One is right.
Yeah.
How did
There's too many people out there, man.
All right, here's the last final one. You thought the apple pie one was a good one? Here's a good one.
Where do you apply for these things?
I have information if anybody's really interested. Here's another one. We got the Chick and Sophie Major Memorial Scholarship Duck Calling Contest.
Oh, they have a pig calling one? That would be even better.
Open to any high school senior in the U.S. who can call ducks. How much do you think you're going to get for this one?
$1,000,000.
$2,000, $5,000, or $10,000?
Two.
Two, yeah.
$2,000 to do some duck calls.
Wow.
Not bad, right?
How about cat calling?
Duck calling. Okay. So that's how did we do today on the
Andrew killed it. It was not even close.
Because he's smart. He applied for all those scholarships and got none of them.
It's that brain food.
Yeah. Yeah, I applied for most of those, Jack. I was too short. I wasn't from Massachusetts, and I could never call a duck. I'm a cat or a pig caller.
Well,
myself.
Then what about that apple pie that we baked together? Didn't do it.
I never baked an apple pie. No. You know them for your banana bread, but not your apple pie.
Oh, believe me, I could do
your apple pie. Isn't that good?
My apple pie is pretty good.
That's a spicy meatball. Okay. I don't even know why I said that.
So finally, we have a little bit of Andrew versus the law.
Oh, we're going.
We're going to talk about another crook this week. We got some music for Andrew.
Jack, where's my intro?
Law?
I wasn't even ready for this.
Jesus Christ, I wasn't
really
either.
Intense. Wow.
Wow, I feel like less of a person right now. I get no intro music.
Well, watch this.
This isn't it.
Oh, he's got the cop sirens on you now.
This reminds
All right.
me. I got pulled over on the way over here.
Not exactly cash for clunkers. That's what this is about.
I got pulled over on the way over here.
All right, well, that's...
I think I smiled at the cop too much. He's like, pull over, license and registration. I was like... I got 3 minutes to get to my radio show.
It's a good thing you live in a liberal town and you smiled at the cop and he let you go. Okay. This is a crook. His name is Hecker. So Chrysler Financial accused Hecker and his partner of forging a document to obtain better financing from Chrysler Financial in regards to a deal to buy Hyundais. This Hecker guy pilfered money from vehicle sales, which included tax, title, license fees that were owed to the state of Minnesota. You see why the states are going broke? You know how much he funds totaling $500,000 were transferred into his personal bank account. Okay, he did this by altering a letter from Hyundai and misstating the type of vehicles that he was purchasing when applying for the loan with Chrysler Financial. So he scammed the financial.
Why is Chrysler buying Hyundais?
Well, the Chrysler Group they finance.
Okay. Bought
various cars. He also directed an employee to cover existing language on a letter with a taped over insert for a fax that was also being presented to Chrysler Financial. In addition to misleading the value of the Hyundai cars to Chrysler Financial, he did not disclose incentives from Hyundai that he was receiving for sales of these vehicles. He used the money for his extravagant lifestyle, including personal jet, a 53-foot yacht, as well as several million-dollar homes.
How? The guy stole $500,000.
No. The $500,000 was transferred into his personal bank account. That's what he did, just into his personal bank account. He also probably had nice salary because his company was making big bucks, and he bought the yacht, and he bought the houses, and it never stops. It never stops. So these boys, no matter where you go, there's crooks doing everything.
I don't mind that.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Taking advantage of Chrysler and Hyundai.
But we all pay. When Chrysler goes belly up, the taxpayers bail them out. They raise the cost of their cars, and we keep paying and paying and paying. It never ends. Just remember, it affects you indirectly, directly, however, but it affects you, and it's going to affect your pocketbook.
Not mine.
Yeah, it is. Someday, because you know,
carry your pocketbook.
No, I don't. I think that's why, Jack.
I think that the buses could be made by.
I have a satchel or a man purse.
Nice. I think we're going to say goodbye.
Why? I was just having fun.
I think it's time to say goodbye.
Say goodbye, then, Jack.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from the Museum of Food and Drink. Dave Arnold and Patrick Martins have gathered a team of New York's most innovative chefs and bartenders to create a 9-course fundraiser lunch at Del Posto, Sunday, March 27th. Their intent? To kickstart the greatest food museum in the world. The menu for this unprecedented event is derived from educational themes of the museum. Chefs will draw inspiration from sources outside their normal sphere. How will a cutting-edge chef handle the Paleolithic, or a dish only using pre-Columbian ingredients? What will a modern Italian chef do with ancient Rome? The chefs include David Chang of Momofuku, Wiley Dufresne of WD-50, Mark Ladner of Del Posto, Nils Noren of the French Culinary Institute, Cesare Casella of Salumeria Rossi, Carlo Maracci of Roberta's, Brooks Headley of Del Posto, and Christina Tozzi of Momofuku Milk Bar. Bartenders include Audrey Sanders of Pegu Club, Thomas Waugh of Death & Company, Simon Ford of Pernod Ricard, Damon Bolte of Prime Meats, and Eben Clem of Be Our Guest Restaurants. Proceeds from the event will directly support the Museum of Food and Drink. Tickets are very limited and $250 per person. To purchase tickets, please visit mofad.eventbrite.com. That's mofad.eventbrite.com. Once again, mofad.eventbrite.com. Sponsored by Pernod Ricard, Heritage Foods USA, Pat LaFrieda Meats, Barterhouse Wines, Del Posto Restaurant.
Well, I think part of the sourcing process to me is the most exciting because you know you rent a car and you drive through the south of France and you know you obviously have some appointments set up, but you know some of the most exciting things happen when you're just kind of winging it and you meet a farmer at a wine fair and he says, "Well, come back to my estate," and you're not quite sure where you're going and you follow a guy in a Peugeot up a rambling hill, and all of a sudden you come across either a castle or a, like a shack in the woods, and the guy's making wine out of a, the back of his, you know, house, or he could be making wine out of a major estate. You know, looks are deceiving, but you want to assume that someone with a very established chateau is making good wine. But 9 times out of 10, the guy out of the garage who's like super passionate is making these better wines, and they're maybe more rustic and less polished. So to me, like the restaurateur, the sommelier, this story resonates with them about the small farmer, you know, the guy who's making wine on small quantities, 80 cases, 100 cases. Those are the things exciting to Barterhouse, and hopefully the things exciting to our clients.